Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program's about the evolution of consciousness and how we are changing and moving and shifting, and how we are in the midst of an amazing transformation now at this point in our history. And a lot of this transformation has to do with who we are as not just a planetary civilization or a solar civilization, but a galactic civilization. And what that means is that we have company, is that we are not an isolated planet that seems to be an accident of creation, that there's only life here. There's life throughout the whole of the universe. I'm convinced of that, and my guest, Judy Carroll, is for sure convinced of that, and she has great information on particularly the grays, the Zeta Reticuli that are out there that have been visiting our planet, and we're going to be talking to her about that. Welcome, Judy, to the program.
Thanks very much, Alan. Lovely to be here.
Well, I think I've had experiences in my younger years. When I say I think, it seems like contact with ETs do not seem to always happen in this level of reality. Do you know what I mean? There seem to be a shift in the way we cognize our dimensions. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, Alan. Half the reason why they're making contact at this time is to help us to cultivate this deeper side of our psyche. That's actually where human evolution is taking us, to higher levels or deeper or more expansive levels of conscious awareness. And that's exactly why the greys are here assisting us with that.
Right. I totally agree. And, you know, part of the conspiracy, and I don't necessarily believe in conspiracies, but we are so conditioned to think very linearly and think very, in a way, one-dimensionally about our mind, and to use only, in a way, one track of this multifaceted instrument that we have called the brain-mind vehicle. So we've been conditioned to ignore other signals that we could be receiving that are trying to come into our conscious field of awareness, and we don't have a reference point for them in our culture. So we're not aware of what we are actually perceiving. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely, Alan. From my understanding and having read a little bit on psychology, many psychologists speak about humans only being able to access 10% of our, well, they talk about mind, but it's actually our conscious awareness. And this is really what the whole ET contact program is about, is opening up these deeper levels beyond that 10%, which, by the way, is linked into the 10% of our DNA that's active. And so this is why there's some intervention going on up on the ships when people are taken up and seem to undergo operations, for want of a better word, and actually helping to upgrade our DNA as well.
Oh, so you're saying when we open our minds to more than 10%, it's directly related to activating our DNA.
Yes, the two are linked intrinsically, DNA and expansion of conscious awareness, or the amount or level or degree of conscious awareness that we're able to actually tap into.
Well, so if we use more of our conscious awareness, what changes in the DNA, and then how does that affect our physical structure, according to your research?
Okay, look, what I might do, Alan, I'll just explain. I think that the greys refer to as the human ladder. And this is all about where the human race is evolving in the future. And this will link in the DNA aspect as well. Our grey teacher, Auris, started talking back in about 2001 about what they refer to as the human ladder. And this is a term that they use for the path or cycle of evolution followed by all human-type species through the universe. Now, according to him, it's comprised of about 10 what they call galactic levels. Now, this really confused me at first, and this is good evidence of why you really, really need to analyse what the Greys talk about, because they speak sometimes in riddles almost, because I thought to myself, now that doesn't make sense. There's more than 10 galaxies in the universe. He's wrong there. But what he was doing, he was making me try and use my mind a bit more. What the galactic levels actually are, they're not galaxies or physical places as such, but they're rather ascending levels of expanding conscious awareness. And Earth humans are only on the first rung of this human ladder, so therefore we're able to access approximately 10% of our potential conscious awareness. Now, when I speak about this, I emphasize the word conscious because this is the key to where we're actually evolving as humans, because as we progress up through these 10 levels over the span of many, many lives, more and more DNA will be activated. And through this, we'll be able to consciously access and perceive higher energy frequencies. So in other words, we'll be consciously aware, just as we're now consciously aware of third dimensional reality in which we operate here on Earth. We'll be consciously aware of many, many more dimensions. The Greys or the Zetas are on levels 5 to 8, so they're able to access 50 to 80% of their conscious awareness, and they would have that much of their DNA active. And the ones we down here think of as angels are actually on levels 9 to 10, and they have therefore 90 to 100% conscious awareness. So in other words, they're fully awakened to what could be called divine or cosmic awareness or consciousness. So that's where we're heading.
Okay, let me ask you about your teacher, Auris. Now, how is he your teacher? Do you meet him physically or non-physically?
No, always in an altered state. I actually work with another teacher by the name of Maris, so I've had actually more teaching with him. But in reality, the Zetas are very attuned to oneness. They will use names down here so we become familiar with certain different aspects of the Zeta consciousness. So the one I'm more familiar with is Maris, but Auris is the one who actually first came through my co-author, Helene. Her daughter and son started having very conscious contact back in the year 2000, and this is how we met. But, yes, I've known my teacher, Maris, for many, many years. Of course, my contact started when I was very young.
I'm just curious. When you say contact, is it non-physical? You're getting messages, or do they appear physically?
It's actually in an altered state. It's a little bit hard to explain because it is in a different brainwave state. It's not in my waking day-by-day reality. Most of the contact I have is at night when I'm in my sleep state or in an altered state. I don't know. I know you've had contact for many years. I don't know. Have you ever experienced the paralysis state?
Yes, I have, where I felt like I was half in and half out of my body. It's a little scary. It's a little weird. I mean, you can't move, and yet you're very aware, but you're in an altered state. You're not in a normal way. I don't feel like I've been in a normal waking state, but yet I was also very awake.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's an altered state.
It is an altered state.
And I think a lot of what we're talking about here is that there are these altered states to human consciousness, and we've been so brainwashed to only think of one state and one level of waking that we've ignored everything else that's been available to us. So,
yes, absolutely, absolutely. And people don't realize there's just so much more out there. Reality is so much greater and more expansive than the limited reality that we perceive down here with our senses.
Exactly. And, you know, John Lennon says reality leaves a lot to the imagination. Well, I love that in the sense that the imagination is not what we've called it. It is a ways of tuning into other levels of the greater mind. So we're not really imagining things or creating it. We're actually accessing it through different ways of viewing. That's how I see it.
then absolutely. I mean, people down here say, oh, it's just all in the mind, in a very derogatory and limiting way of putting things down. But actually, yes, it is all in the mind, but they don't realise that that's where our reality is, and that even our conscious three-dimensional reality, we are creating that with our mind. It's a mind state. But there's many, many different levels of mind. Mm-hmm. And this is what deities are trying to get across to us.
So when you're in this altered state, when you're connecting with your teacher, how do they appear to you in the altered state, or do you just get language information?
Okay, look, it comes in on all different levels. I'll go back and I'll just speak about, I had a very, very important contact in 1983 when I was age 30. It was the most significant contact. I'd been aware of having contact right through my childhood, but I never quite realised what was going on because there was this other brainwave state involved. But when I was age 30, we were actually living on an acreage property. And one night I had an amazing dream where I linked up with this grey teacher that I'd sort of been aware of being around for many, many years, but I'd never quite got to know him properly. And this particular night during this dream state, we were sitting together on the bank of the stream talking, and this conversation went on for a long time. And, of course, I woke up the next morning and couldn't remember what it had been about, but there was just this incredible longing to get back there. The following Sunday, I started feeling a little bit off colour in the afternoon, like as if I was coming down with the flu. So I went upstairs to lie down for a while, and the next thing, I found myself in that paralysis state, absolutely unable to move a muscle, feeling very scared, and there was a loud, roaring, buzzing sound going on in my head, giving me a headache. I then became aware of two of the Zeta-type beings standing beside the bed. One of them was this teacher. They were fully present in solid third-dimensional reality, and their bodies were blocking some of the light coming in through the window. It was mid-afternoon, full daylight, so I was in an altered state, but it was also a very physical experience. This is very hard to put into words.
No, I understand, because I've had that feeling, and with the same buzzing in the back of my head, so I know what you're
okay.
saying.
Okay, yeah. Very interesting, yes.
Yes.
Once I became aware of their presence, all the fear I felt evaporated and I recognised them as family. I also did realise then that one of them was this teacher I'd met up with a few nights before, so that also relieved my fear immensely. I was also aware of another one behind me and something being done to the top of my head, which I now know is the crown chakra point. It actually felt as if the top of my head was being opened up and something being done. And I'm aware that this was why I was picking up on all this noise. It was like noise of the astral plane, I think. Anyway, a conversation followed between us, during which I was advised that I needed to move from where we were living in the country back to the city. The exact words were, you've spent enough time hiding yourself away out here, it's time you got back to work. Now, as this teacher and I had discussed during the initial contact, I remembered all of this later, I was reminded of the fact that I'm actually one of them, but this time have chosen to be born into a human body, and this is why I recognise them as family. It was explained to me that it was now time for me to wake up to a deeper conscious awareness of who and what I really am and why I'm here. And I was also told that I still had a lot of study to do on the earth human level of my psyche to be able to carry out my Zeta work effectively and in a way that people down here could relate to. So I was then advised to learn meditation. And it was suggested the best way for me to do this was through Tai Chi. Now, at that point in my life, I hardly even knew what that was, but this was the advice they gave me. Natural healing was something else I was told I needed to learn, and I was also told that someday I'd be teaching these things. Now, at the time, this gave me a real shock because I knew very little about any of this at that time. I'd been educated in a Catholic convent, brought up Catholic. In Australia back in the 1980s, there was hardly any of that sort of thing. New Age thing was hardly touched on at all. So I was really in the dark about what they were talking about. But the thing is, over the next 3 years, circumstances changed dramatically for me. We did move back to town, just as I'd been told by the Zeta family, And then a series of amazing coincidences then began happening, which resulted in opportunities being put in place for me to learn and then eventually to teach Tai Chi. I also learned meditation and spiritual healing, which in turn led me into Reiki, which I also now teach. So everything that I was told back then really has happened. Mm.
So then you started to understand states of consciousness. And I do think this is the most important thing we can learn as a human race, that we can function in these altered states or consciousness and these higher states, and to learn to use our mind in different ways. But we seem to have a cultural paradigm that has locked us into one way of thinking. I think things like television keep us in this uniformed mindset. And what do the Zetas suggest we do to start to break out of those levels of control, I would say?
Okay, well basically what I was told to do, spiritual practice of some sort is the way to do it. Because what people don't seem to understand is that spiritual growth and evolution is to do with the raising of our vibrational frequency. So any practice, now it doesn't matter what religion you are or what belief system or whatever, or even if you don't have any, it doesn't matter. But what we do need to do is to understand that spirituality and religion are two different things.
I agree.
Religion, yes. Religion is fine. If you need it, that's okay. But spirituality is absolutely essential. We must strive to become more spiritual.
Actually, I don't think religion is fine. I think it's another tool in the way of spirituality, and I think it's been used to manipulate people and to condition them in different ways of limitation. And I think if we could transcend religion, I know that might get a lot of people upset because they're very attached to their religion. But if we could be just spiritual beings without the religion, the world would be a lot better, safer, happier, more peaceful planet.
Yes, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. We need to develop this spiritual connect. I mean, religions have been paths to spirituality, but they've also been the way of a spiritual connection. So, in a way, there is no, your spirit, our spirit is right. It's right there. We don't need to follow a path. I mean, all we need to do is, like you say, do a practice and meditation, which is just tuning in, closing your eyes and listening to your mind is one of the best ways, I would say, to do that.
Oh, look, absolutely. Anything that raises the vibrational frequency. I mean, even listening to beautiful music can affect. Music has a very, very strong effect on the human energy system. People don't realize. And this is where there's a lot of problem with the young people these days listening to all this heavy metal. People don't realize how much our body is affected by these things, not on the physical level, but on the energy level. And really our energy body dictates what happens with the physical body. All things like, for example, acupuncture, Reiki, Tai Chi, all those things assist in harmonizing and balancing our energy system, which underlies all the physical systems of the body. So if you don't keep your energy system in balance, that's where all sorts of problems on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all come in. Mm.
But you know what heavy metal does do, and this has been, I mean, not that I listen to that really, but it could break down etheric thought form patterns that surround the body. If you listen to some loud music, it does have a way of freeing and unobstructing certain energy flows that may have gotten stuck in our astral energy field. That's been my experience anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Like joyful, happy music, dancing is a wonderful way to do it. Mm. Yeah.
But you know what I want to ask you about the Greys, the Zetas, and you mentioned this in your website as well, and I also published one of your papers on my website, newrealities.com. Did you see that? I posted your article on the confusion about the Greys.
Did you? Right.
I post that. And so you say in that article and your website is that fear is a major emotion that comes up when we first make contact. And I know in my case, actually, I just had a dream last night where I kind of freaked out for meeting some kind of being that was just so different than me that it's just a shock to meet beings that do not think like you. And I would say they shift your assemblage point, if you know what I mean by that, to an altered state of consciousness. And it's freaky. It's scary. It's traumatic. And maybe they don't intend that, but because they're thinking so differently and their field of energy is so differently that it is a shock to the human system.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I believe that their energy field can actually set off a physical reaction in the human body. I know when the teachers started coming through speaking to us, Helene and I, on a regular basis, we'd start to feel this freezing cold sort of inner shaking sensation. And it was like they knew how much we could take. And after an hour or so, when it was just too much, then they'd leave to allow us to sort of come back to normal again. After a while, we become used to it. But at first, it was quite unnerving.
But why? Why is it so shocking to really come face to face with the, well, let's say, these little grays, for instance? I mean, does it have to be? Is there any way where... you know, they're not like angelic beings. They're not bad. I don't think they're evil or anything like that. They're just so different.
Well, that's part of our evolution, because many people are held back by fear. Fear is what blocks our evolution as human beings. And now I'm not talking about fear of snakes or fear of heights, things like that. What I'm speaking about here is more this sort of herd instinct that people have, this intrinsic fear of anyone who looks different. Now, let's face it, on this planet, that's the basis for all wars and religious fighting and things like that, because people are different and they have trouble with difference in other people. And this is one of the fears that the greys are actually trying to get us past.
But I think it's even a deeper fear than just someone being different. It's what John Mack, you know who John Mack was?
Yeah.
He called it ontological shock. It's the shock that reality is not what we've been told it is. And that is so traumatic. Because here you're meeting a being. When you meet another human, you can look into their eyes and you have a sense of who they are. When you meet beings like this, who you don't know, you don't have all our presumptions about human beings are out the window. We have no basis for establishing any of our old assumptions. And I think that is what is so traumatic for us as humans. We want to put everything in a box, and when we can't, we could put them in the alien box or the ET box, but we don't have a reference point for that because, you know, every person we meet, we know they eat, they breathe, they've had a mother and father. These beings, all the assumptions we would make about them don't apply. And so I think that's part of the trauma, that our reality is thoroughly shaken by the unknown. And you're saying if we can overcome that kind of initial trauma, that reality isn't what we think it is, we could then activate more of our brain and have some level of contact with these beings.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because it's this limited view of reality that is stopping us from evolving further. So it's almost like shock treatment that the Zetas are using down here, because humans of Earth have been stuck in this 10% of consciousness and what we perceive as reality that we think is the be-all and end-all, not realizing that there's a far greater reality out there. And it's like we don't want to move on. We're in this little cozy zone, and we don't want to move from there. But we have to if we're going to evolve along with our planet, because the planet, of course, is evolving as well. And so it's a tool they're using to help us to evolve, to push us past these limits, this ceiling that we've created above our heads.
Well, how did you get over when you initially were in fear yourself?
Mm.
And then how long did it take you to break through that wall of fear to start to realize that they were okay and that there was another level of a consciousness here?
Well, it happened with me very quickly when I had this meeting with this teacher and the experience on that afternoon when I suddenly saw them beside the bed and all of a sudden I realized, oh, my goodness, I know you, your family, of course. Up until then, I had been very, very scared. Right through childhood, I was aware something was going on. I never felt at home down here. I had a sort of a strong sense of mission of being here to do work of some sort. I was also aware of someone coming into the house at night to take me off somewhere and of another sort of parallel life being lived somewhere. But I had real trouble getting my head around it, and I was terrified, but I was fascinated by it at the same time. So I can totally relate to that fear. I have been there, done that.
But do you think that the Greys are taking – I mean, in my experience, it seems like they are taking – our DNA, our sperm, our eggs, in order to create a hybrid race that would be part human and part E.T. Grey. I mean, has that been your experience?
Yes. They're doing it for both to help themselves and to help us. What people don't understand, they lump the Zazas all together as this sort of, you know, one group of planetary visitors coming here. And in actual fact, they're way beyond that. They've actually evolved up through a number of planetary cultures, and they've come actually to a point now where they're beyond the need for a physical planetary existence. They're more interdimensional rather than extraterrestrial. But during that journey of their culture, there have been some who have have come into need of more learning experiences or whatever. And so, yes, some of them are needing human genetics to take them back to go over some stuff that was missed out on. But at the same time, it's part of our evolution as well. So it's almost like the two races are helping each other out. It's a fair exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's true. And I think that they became so intellectual that they lost their ability to have emotion. And I think this is what is also in our DNA, the ability to feel. And that's is what they're needing, even though they have a great intelligence, they're needing that in their DNA, the ability for emotional connection to each other. And
is a difficult field because we're talking across several levels of evolution. The younger guys, the small ones, yes, they need to learn more about emotion, whereas the tall ones, the ones that we have associated with as teachers, they do understand emotion completely. It's just that the musculature in their faces, they can't express emotion. But if you look into their eyes, the emotion is there very deeply, and they do understand.
But who's the ones that are wanting the DNA, that are the human DNA? Which ones are those?
Oh, they're some of the younger ones.
I see.
See, they're on different levels on the human ladder. They're from about level 5 through to about level 8. So there's a whole lot of different ones involved.
And they're all related genetically to each other, though.
Yes. Well, I've come – it's very, very hard to explain. This term that I use, grey, this is why I tend not to use the term Zeta very much. Like I use it in the title of the book, because everyone, as soon as you see Zeta, people know who they are. So it's basically so people understand who we're writing about. But I prefer either grey, or a term I prefer myself is guardian. I refer to them as the grey guardians. So they're not a planetary culture as such. They're more a level of evolution to which all human-type cultures like ours are heading. That's where we're heading.
I mean, the term Zeta originally came from Betty Hill, identifying one of the earliest known abductees in the 60s, identifying a star map where she remembered one on a ship she was on that pointed to the star Zeta Reticuli, and that's where the term Zeta has come from. Is that your reference to Zeta?
No. I only use the term because it's such a commonly used term down here. So when I use the term Zeta, I know, well, okay, people know who I'm talking about. But, I don't use that at all.
No, but I'm saying it comes from Betty Hill's first recognizing that Zeta Reticuli was on the star map that she saw on board a ship. So that's where the term Zeta first came into the vocabulary in reference to the Greys.
Yes, well, it's quite interesting because I was just reading an article about that the other day, and that one viewpoint that's come forward is that it was misinterpreted that it wasn't actually the Zeta Reticuli system. I don't know a great deal about it, but that was what they said in the article.
It wasn't. So there, so you're saying there's lots of levels of consciousness. There's lots of levels of let's call them ET interactions with humans. And everyone is evolving according to their own level of consciousness.
Yes.
So what are you saying we're coming into now towards the end of 2012? What exactly do you feel is going – is there a huge shift – are you getting that information from the Guardians that there's a huge shift in energy about that?
Yes, there is, and it's been going on for some time. So it's not something that's going to just sort of bang, suddenly we're going to become all cosmic. It's not like that. Look, what I'll do, I'll just read out a little bit. We've been given quite a lot of information on this, Alan, so I'll just speak about the Grays' perspective on it.
Yes, please.
What they have to say, planet Earth is in the process of stepping up or evolving to a higher vibrational frequency. This is a gradual change that's been going on for many years and will continue for some time yet. This process is accelerated at various points along the way by certain astrological alignments, which act like keys or catalysts to initiate further energy boosts. And now a very major one of these is due to occur on December the 21st, 2012. And we can compare this to the Renaissance period in Europe. It was a similar sort of thing. Now, humanity also needs to evolve to a higher frequency level in order to remain in harmony with the planet. So people down here are going through quite a lot of changes and upheavals as a result of this. Some are making the change easily, some are not. The Zetas are here, along with others from various planetary systems, to assist the process by helping to balance and harmonize the energies of both planet and people. Now, evolution in the human kingdom is all about making a free will choice between love and fear. To put it into Christian terms, love is the God element, fear is the Satan element within mankind. So this is a choice to be made, love or fear. And fear, this fear is expressed through such things as divisiveness, religious intolerance, racism, all of our emotions, jealousy, hatred, ego, greed, etc. Love is expressed through oneness and unity, acceptance, non-judgment, tolerance and respect towards others, empathy, compassion, etc. So if people down here wish to evolve along with their planet, then they must choose love. This, in turn, is the key to opening the mind to a more expanded and deeper state of conscious awareness. So this, then, is what evolution in the human kingdom is all about. So that's what's happening.
Right. But I do think everyone wants to choose love. It's just that there's been a conditioning. I think everyone wants love. I don't know if it's really a choice between fear and love. This is what I feel. I feel, of course, no one would choose fear over love, but it's because people have had experiences where the fear has locked them into a certain belief system that keeps them in these patterns. So the idea is, how do we get people out of the fear and into love? How do we help people realize that they've been locked in a pattern of fear?
Yes, well, it's an empowerment thing. It's interesting because Helene came up against this with her children when they were undergoing some very, very strong contact back in the year 2000 or onwards. The children were absolutely terrified. And the one thing that she used to always use, particularly with her son Ben, he used to go into these trance states, and it was like a night terror sort of thing. And he was just absolutely terrified. And what she used to say to him over and over again is, Ben, remember, love conquers all. Tap into the love. You are empowered. You have God within you, the God part of you within you. That's what people need to understand, that we all are part of oneness. That's what how the ETs refer to God, oneness or source, and we are all part of this. We all have this energy within us. And so when we get pushed to the limits of our fear, sometimes that's all we have left to tap into. So it's important that people do this to regain their empowerment. Mm.
I mean, are the each of these grays, do they have individualized souls as humans do? So each gray is on their own path? Because it seems to me there's more a collective mind and...
Okay, look, I'll tell you what I'll do, Alan. I'll speak a little bit about, as I mentioned when I was talking about the 1983 encounter, I was opened up to the fact that I am a Zeta down here in human form. Now, I took a long time to be able to accept this, but I have been forced to over the years because many people have actually seen this form as I'm speaking that sort of comes over me, overshadows me. And I have learned to work in the two realities. So what I'll do, I'll just explain a little bit about what it's actually like being a Zeta.
Yeah.
How different it is from being down here as a human, because I have had conscious recall of being up there working on humans on the ships and everything. So I can put this forward.
Well that's exciting. I've never talked to a Zeta before on my radio show, so thank you.
Okay. Well, it depends on whether you're speaking physically or emotionally. Now, physically it is very different in that as a Zeta there's a lot more freedom and balance, believe it or not. Down here as a human, I find things clumsy and heavy. Which is natural because the energy down here is heavier and of a lower frequency, which makes it hard to operate the body. And this is partly why I was advised to take up Tai Chi and Reiki. I need these to keep my energies balanced and running at optimum efficiency in a human body. Now, emotionally, we aren't all that different. In our Zeta bodies, we don't have the musculature in our faces to enable us to physically express emotion. But that doesn't mean we don't have emotion or that we're robots. I find that in my Zeta form, I actually feel emotions such as unconditional love and compassion more deeply because we operate on a higher vibrational frequency. Also, because we feel certain aspects of our being, lower emotions such as envy, greed, etc., aren't experienced. So, in fact, to draw a comparison, we're very much like the Eastern adepts down here, whose depth of spiritual training enables them to practice compassionate non-attachment. We're able to see things from a wider and deeper perspective, so we're more able to see the bigger picture in any given situation. Now, the main difference in the way we operate and think is we think more in terms of oneness, so we're much more amalgamated and homogenized as a group soul consciousness and work for the good of all, whereas on Earth people are more segregated and divided, hence all the racial and religious tension that goes on between various groups. But at the same time, we have individual choice. I mean, absolutely, free will reigns throughout the whole universe. We also look at things more in terms of multi-dimensions and energy rather than just looking at the outer shallow layer as being the only reality. People on Earth tend to be very caught up in appearance and third-dimensional physicality. But in a greater reality, there's far more out there. For example, the physical part of the universe is very small and limited. There's much, much more to it than the little part that can be physically observed and measured.
Right. Let me just ask you one question. Don't you love being human too? Don't you like the taste of food and chocolate?
Yes.
All those
absolutely.
All those great things that humans can do here. I mean,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. I mean, those of us who are down here working tend to really enjoy our food and things like that.
Exactly.
Up there, we either don't eat at all or we have food in paste form. Like, it's very, always vegetarian.
It's awful. You put it on your skin, it absorbs through the skin, you don't get to taste it.
You can taste it. Some depends on what body we're working through.
Okay, but I like tasting it. You know, I like putting it in my mouth and tasting food.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, we thoroughly enjoy that. Helene and I often joke about that side of it. You know, being down here, there are certain perks.
Right. Is she a Grey too, Helene, your co-author?
Yes, she is.
Oh, she is. It's amazing you found each other in all of Australia.
Oh, quite amazing, just amazing. The very first time she spoke to me on the phone, I recognised her voice immediately. It was quite amazing.
You wrote this book together, The Zeta Message, Connecting All Beings in Oneness, and then you wrote...
Yes.
And then your book is Human by Day, Zeta by Night, The Dramatic Account of Grey's Incarnate. Now, would you say how many people are actually Greys that have incarnated as humans? What percentage?
Oh, there'd be many thousands down here. There are far more, and many of them don't even realize they are. I was the same. Before I woke up, the idea was to learn what it is to be human without being distracted by the other reality. And so what we do, we come down here and we just absolutely plunge ourselves into being human, and some of us then eventually come to remember and some don't.
Now you remembered because, I mean, part of what you're here to do is bring that back to the Zetas, the human experience as well, right?
Yes.
But you also have a very, very strong connection to one level of gray. Now, which level of gray are you connected to?
I'm on level 7.
Which means what? Okay, so tell me what that means.
Okay. People are aware that there are sort of three different types of greys who come down here. There's the little ones who are about 3 feet high, about a metre high. Then there's the next size up that are about 5 feet high. And then there's the really tall ones, about 8 foot. So I'm one of the 5-footers.
I see. In your next lifetime, you'll be a tall one.
Well, that'd be nice. I don't know if I'll get there in one lifetime.
But some people say the Greys are really clones, that they really don't have a mind of their own. And in one of my dreamlike experiences, I think I met the mother of the Greys, what I call the ancient ones. Do you have any? Well, first, are they clones? And then what do you think about this one they call the ancient one?
Okay, well, no, they're not clones, but why there's a similarity is that many of the Greys have actually moved past the need for physical form, and so what they do, they use artificial bodies or semi-artificial bodies when they need to come down here, for example, to do physical work of some sort.
Oh, I see.
And so they, all those bodies we refer to them as containers, and they're all made more or less in the same pattern. So, yes, that's why they all look the same, because what they are, where we get the term container, is a container for the soul and spirit, just as the physical human body is. I mean, the physical human body is just a vehicle as well that we can step in and out of. So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just one body is biological, the other one isn't. The ancient one, that would come from the fact that that person would, or that grey would be a teacher. They are very, very old. We asked Aurus once how old he was, and he said, oh, I think it was about 2 million years or something. Because they don't measure their lifetime in the short span of each single life. They look on it as a continual life, which it is. I mean, it's the container or the physical vehicle that dies.
Well,
the soul goes on.
This container was very old as well, and one I think I saw. Who knows? But, I mean, it's possible that the body itself, once you understand the pulse, and that, you know, they are create. They're, what my theory is that they can't actually create life. They need us humans and our DNA in order to contribute life to this hybridization that's happening. But they are, they're great genetic engineers, so they can maintain life for a long, long time, is what I sense about
yes.
them?
Well, they're basically energy workers. They're the energy workers of the universe. Sometimes they refer to themselves as workers of the angels. They're sort of like the next level down. So yes, they work with energy. They're absolute masters of working with energy, transmutation and transformation of energy. So they're really a particular group who are responsible for assisting the transmutation and transformation of energy throughout the universe, which is what evolution is all about, because evolution is not a physical thing. It's a soul thing. Particularly once we get into the human kingdom.
So this teacher that you have, Maris, is that a male or female?
It's a male. Females down here have male teachers. Males have female teachers. Uh-huh. It's like a yin yang sort of thing.
Oh, I see. So I think I did meet a female teacher, but anyway, their soul is evolving as well, but they're also a part of the fabric of creation, helping creation evolve.
Yes, yes.
So they're...
Yes, everyone is evolving, yeah.
Everyone's evolving, but they are actually helping creation itself in its evolutionary cycle, it seems like.
Yes, yes, they're assisting the process. That's right, absolutely.
And what is the end reason? Is there an end to this evolutionary cycle?
Yes, well, how the Greys put it, we talk about returning to oneness, because oneness is how we think of God. God is like the energy. God's like an energy. It's the super glue of the universe, to put it into earthly terms. It's like a universe life force energy, in other words, that flows through every living creature in the universe. So that's how we think of God. We don't think of God as being an old man up on a cloud. We think of God as being an energy, but it's a very real energy.
So all of our soul and spiritual evolution has been to return to the source of oneness, to the source.
Exactly, exactly. Source is another term that's used.
But then what was the reason for the incarnational experiences to begin with if we're returning to the source?
Yes, source looking for experience.
And
energy,
why
seeking to expand.
Why is the source looking for experience?
Because evolution is a continually expanding process, and even the source itself is evolving.
But if the source is oneness and all there is oneness, then what is the reason that the source itself needs to have experience? If it is all things anyway, this is the part in straight metaphysical literature, I still question the reason for the whole, what they say, Leela, the whole play of incarnation, of experience, of levels, of this, of the whole illusion of the Maya of existence. I haven't heard a satisfactory answer to what it really is about.
Right. Well, I think probably no one really knows. I mean, even as far up as our level, we would find it very hard to get our heads around it as well.
Maybe it's really just to beyond experience. Maybe it is only, maybe it's not a goal in of itself. Maybe the whole purpose is experience in the moment, whatever the moment is.
Yeah, well, experiencing physicality, experiencing emotion, experiencing on all levels.
Right, experiencing good and evil, as you call it. So it's all polarity. There are really only illusions of division.
Exactly.
So
it's all polarity.
But it does seem that we are about to take a turn, I mean, the human race, for... We're gonna reach a new level of our own awakening. This is where we're coming to now. This is the exciting part, I think.
That's right.
And what is that going to take? So why don't they just appear here and shock the whole planet until they get through the fear?
Okay, because that would not give us any incentive down here. Now I'm speaking from the human perspective. That wouldn't give us the incentive to open our consciousness further. If the ETs just turn up here in physical form, we haven't evolved, because evolution is about opening up to deeper and more expansive conscious awareness. So there's got to be an incentive there. Wherever evolution takes place, there always has to be an incentive behind it, whether it's a need to learn to walk on two legs as opposed to four legs, or to walk on the land as opposed to swimming in the water. So there's always got to be an incentive behind evolution. And the incentive now is to open our human, limited little human brains up to more expansive conscious awareness. So this is why the ETI contact experience is almost occult. It's sort of on the edge of our mind. It's very elusive. And we're always asking and after answers and pushing ourselves beyond the barrier to get our answers.
But is there an arrival date? Do you feel like there will be a moment where it's just out of the box and everyone just acknowledges the presence of these other beings?
Well, I'm hoping so. I think they're waiting for a critical mass to occur down here, for enough people to get to a point where they're open enough to accept when this happens. I don't think that this is set in concrete. There's no date set in concrete for it. As far as I understand, we're just going along and seeing how things happen down here.
Well, the big problem is that the government, and you talk about, I don't necessarily believe in the MyLabs abduction or the military abductions. It seems too contrived. I think there are abductions or people being taken by Greys for experiment and for this download that's occurring. Ultimately, I do think it's a good experience. I do think the military and the government is hiding the information, but I don't know if they're involved in the abduction. I tend to think not, but what do you think?
Well, I tend to think they are, because I've spoken to a number of people who have been involved in this.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have. Well, basically, they've backed up that these things are going on. From my perspective, I think there's a lot more going on than people believe, and there's not as much going on as people believe, if that makes sense. There's a huge amount of disinformation going on, but there is stuff going on, but there's a lot of disinformation as well. Let's put it that way.
Well, wait, what does the government or the military want with their own abductions? Why would they be doing that?
A lot of it is to retain control down here.
Retain control of people who are already grey?
Retain control of the planet.
So what are they doing by abducting people, the military? What do they hope to accomplish by that?
Oh, look, they've got a lot of their own reasons. I don't really like to go into the side of things very much.
Okay. It is a little negative, but we can't just talk about the government, misleading people as far as ETs being here.
They are
ignoring and hiding the fact that there are sightings every day.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're doing that in order to maintain control. I mean, you do talk about the controllers in your literature.
Yeah.
So just talk a little bit about who the controllers are.
They're a very, very ancient race that came here many, many millions of years ago. And many of them got caught up down here. And so they're actually incarnating as humans now. I believe that some of them are these inner Earth races that they speak about. As far as I understand, and these ones have maintained a lot of their technology, the inner Earth ones, and I do believe that they're giving assistance to military groups and that, as far as I understand.
So the controllers want to maintain control, and they are opposed to the guardians that are here to free people to higher levels of consciousness.
Yes, that's exactly it in a nutshell.
I see. But it does seem like the forces of the planet are shifting to the higher vibrations anyway.
Yes, that's right.
And that right. The controllers are losing their control.
They will eventually.
They will eventually. Yeah. And then we will be a free race. I mean, when we understand the levels of multidimensionality that we exist on, I think that changes the whole playing field. In a way, humanity sort of gets scattered. I mean, we become more expanded, but we'll be able to communicate with each other in the linear fashion that we are used to communicating in.
Yes, well, of course, that's where evolution's taking us. And, I mean, we can't fight evolution. There are some who will try to, so they'll take a bit longer to get there, but we'll get there in the end.
So evolution is really the evolution of consciousness, not biology, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. The biology follows on. It's just the same as this is how all the natural healing therapies, like, for example, Reiki and acupuncture, Shiatsu, all those different ones work. They actually address the condition of illness at the energy level as an imbalance or disharmony of energy within the energy system, whereas traditional medicine addresses it at the physical symptom level, like after the symptoms have actually developed, that, and then they give you medicine or pill or whatever. So yes, it's all based in the energy system.
I know it's so ridiculous to treat the symptom and not the root of the problem. But tell me, so it may take maybe 20 years, 30 years, 100, 200 years for this whole of human civilization to open up to this next level of who we are, right? I mean, but when we do, when we finally get it, when we finally understand that we are multidimensional cosmic beings living in a incredibly diverse world of possibility, what will it look like to you if you could see that far in the future? How does human civilization look then when we make this leap?
Well, people have had contact with some of the star visitors. I think that they're known as the Pleiadians down here. Now, they're a typical example of this, a very, very evolved human species. That's hopefully how the human race of Earth will be when they fully embrace.
Well, what are they like, the Pleiadians? Can you tell us what they are like?
They're a race of people who live in complete balance and harmony with themselves and with the environment around them. So they have embraced things like zero-point energy so that they're not using fossil fuels. They totally care for their environment. They totally respect their planet and their environment and each other. They're much more linked into oneness, much closer to the way we operate than down here. So you don't have your wars and intolerances and that sort of thing. That's what Pleiadians are like, and that's hopefully how Earth humans are heading.
Right, and I think we are. Some of us are actually living there, and some of us hope to live there. And
absolutely.
But the Pleiadians are also evolving. Each of the, I mean, all the ET races are also evolving. Where are the Pleiadians evolving into, for instance?
Okay, well, they still have a physical form on their planet, but they're not as trapped in their physical containers as down here. They understand much more about astral travel and stepping out of the body, and that in reality they're a light body. So they understand that, but they're still choosing to have a physical experience. But eventually they will move past that so that they will move to a point where they don't have physical experience at all. They become pure mind.
Uh-huh. You know, in a way, it's so simple to just live on the Earth plane as a very limited, third-dimensional human being, ignorant of all these other possibilities, because it's very complex. This is really the simplest dimension of all. It's really very simple to live just here and ignore everything else, because once you open that box, it becomes so multidimensional, so unlimited in a way that I wouldn't say it's overwhelming, but it's like having access to a radio dial, just switching the stations as much as you can.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why ones like me, I mean, I have to be in an altered state to be able to link into the Zeta part of my being, because there's no way that I could bring that down here into a human body. I would go completely crazy.
Uh-huh. So you had a pretty normal life up until then, right?
Oh, yeah, very normal. I still do. I mean, I'm still a human down here.
I mean, you have children, you're married, or?
Yes, I'm married. I don't have children. I wasn't quite game to go that far into being a human, but yes, I'm certainly married.
And you live somewhere, which part of Australia you live in?
Yes, we're on the East Coast, Queensland.
I see. And then, you know, I mean, you talk to the neighbors, you go shopping, and little do they know that you're a grey walking around in a human's body.
Oh, look, some do, most don't.
But if they did know that, wouldn't they have a hard time with that?
They probably would. I'm very, very careful about who I speak to about this. Very careful.
I mean, they could put you away. I mean.
Exactly.
I'm not sure your husband. Does he know your husband?
Yes, he does. Yes, he's fine with it.
He's fine that he married you. Okay. I mean, he's just a normal guy, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's actually seen me change form on a couple of occasions. So, you know, he knows that it really is.
But doesn't that shake up his whole life, or just he just go about his job as if, like, you know, nothing's happened?
I think he sort of compartmentalizes it, as a lot of people do.
And I think that's the problem with humans. They compartmentalize and block off in order to function in a normal way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that is a bit of a conspiracy that we have. We have to function in order to survive, and that's been this whole control mechanism that we haven't allowed the power of our imagination to open up the multidimensional realities that we really live in all the time.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So
it's a slow process. It can't be done overnight. It would be too much of a shock for people's systems.
I mean, have you ever just taken your husband out of his body and showed him the universe?
No, because I would be going against his free will, and I'm not allowed to do that.
Okay, because he's not ready for that kind
of thing. He's not ready, no.
Is he ever going to be ready? I mean, or he's not just not interested, really?
I don't think in this life, but I think probably the next life he'll start to open up, because he's seen glimpses of it in this life.
But there is a huge population on this planet that is ready for this.
Yes.
Life. And so I think that is going to make a tremendous amount of difference I think the vibration of the planet's changing, and this aspect of our minds that are altered, that are living in these altered states of reality, start to recognize that, in a way, what we know of this world is starting to fragment and shift. And I think things like the internet are already part of this fragmentation of different ways of thinking.
Oh, very much, and bringing about a much greater state of oneness as well.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you think back 30 years ago and us sitting here speaking to each other, you in America and me here in Australia, in real time, I mean, it is absolutely amazing.
Right, and then actually, almost, you know, I could see you if we were Skyping three ways, I could actually see you, and that would be pretty amazing, you know?
Yes, that's right.
So just teleporting then is the next level, and I'm sure the Greys have this technology, so why don't they just give it to you or us or people to?
Well, there's been technology taken from the discs, and you can see what a mess it's been made of down here. It's always used for war purposes, so that's why we're very, very hesitant in giving out any more technology.
Yeah, but I think the Greys could give it to some scientists that could develop it for peaceful purposes. I think we're ready for that. I mean,
trouble is, once it gets out of our hands, we have no control over it.
Well, when do they think the end of war will be? Because I think, you know, there's really, there never was a reason for war. Well, maybe some wars like World War II, but mostly. I think it could be the end of war if we could just all get along. I mean, I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but
I think it's more to do with human consciousness than technology. See, the problem with this planet is they don't have the spiritual maturity to be able to handle a lot of the technology, and this is where things are going wrong. So we're hoping that they will mature spiritually enough fairly soon so that more technology can be released.
But when you say hoping they'll mature, how? I mean, you're doing more than just hoping, I hope. I mean, isn't that, I mean, aren't you actively, you know, working with people in their dream states to start to plant seeds of awareness?
Yes, we are, but at the same time, humans are governed by free will, so we can't override that.
Mm. So, kind of to sum up, what do you hope, I mean, what do you, what are the plans that the Greys are making in order to bring this planet to its higher vibration? I mean, what, not just what they hope, but what do they actually have in place? I mean, why they obviously are abducting or taking some people and not others, for instance, and the people they do take have had huge shifts because of their contact now.
Yes, well, we take people, again, we don't go against people's free will. I know we get accused of it, but we're not doing that. Between life, how can I say, agreements have been made with these people who on a free will level know that they're ready to evolve and move on. And so they request us to contact them and take them up onto the ships to help them to make this evolutionary leap. So even that hinges on people's free will. I know a lot of people don't remember making this request, but they have made it on a deeper level. Because the human mind is rather like an iceberg. I mean, the top, very tip of the iceberg is visible above the ocean, but there's often a huge mass below. And this is a very good example or comparison to human consciousness. So that little tip of the iceberg, they don't remember their agreement. It's been made on deeper levels.
Right, but who are these ships that come and go? Who are these UFOs? I mean, are those Greys? Are those, you know, the Guardians?
Because you're some are, but many are from down here, inner Earth, etc.
Oh, inner Earth. You're talking about the civilization inside the Earth.
Yeah.
Who are those beings? What's your knowledge of those people?
I believe they're good and bad, but a lot of them are the controllers that I speak about in my book.
And the controllers are good or bad? I mean, they're the people trying to control things.
Yeah, they're the ones wanting to stay in control down here.
Because I heard the inner Earth people were quite good, you know, in general.
Oh, I'm sure there are. I mean, there's always balance. Where there's negative, there's always positive.
All right. So here we are right in the middle of 2012. What do you see unfolding within the next 6 months and then down the road?
Okay, well, there's obviously going to be more Earth changes because, I mean, those things have been going on over the millennia and there's always change going on the planet because the planet's growing, it's evolving the same as humanity is. So there's going to be more of that, but just as there always has been. I'm not really into giving predictions of gloom and doom because we can't predict what's going to happen in the future. Even at our level, we're not allowed to do this because the fact that humans create with their own minds, so therefore human minds can change from moment to moment. So therefore any prediction that is made is always only a possibility. It's never set in stone. It's important people realise this because a lot of these gloom and doom predictions that have been made to cause fear down here because the fear disempowers people. They live their lives in anxiety and terror, or there's going to be a tsunami, or there's going to be an earthquake. And in reality, it's the fear that causes more damage than these actual things if they came about.
But what's the positive things we can look forward to in the next year or so?
Oh, look, I can see things happening all the time. People are beginning to open up to oneness through things like the internet. More understanding is happening. It's a slow process, but it's happening. There are more and more people who are coming out against war, starting to see how our politicians pull the wool over our eyes. People are starting to understand more.
And what do you think your personal evolutionary journey will take you to next? I mean, where are you going as a person?
I don't really know, I must admit. I'm so caught up in this mission down here at the moment.
What, your mission is what exactly down here?
Well, trying to teach through my writing and through interviews like this. I also teach Tai Chi and Reiki to help people to balance their energy. So I'm kept pretty busy with all of that.
So what's the most important thing you want people to really be aware of who are listening?
Well, the most important thing is to be aware of the fact that you all, everyone has universal life force energy flowing within them. So you all have the power within to overcome fear and to live your lives in love. Everyone has this same energy. It doesn't matter who you are, a human of Earth or a Pleiadian or a Grey or whoever. We've all got the same energy, the same God consciousness flowing through us.
Right. And anything you have to say about these altered states of awareness? Because I think if we could understand levels of mind, levels of consciousness, we'll start to understand that our multidimensional aspect and start to acknowledge these deeper parts of ourselves.
Yes, well, it's important that people realize that when they go into these altered states or CETs or see a ghost or whatever, it's important they understand that this is reality. It's not just imagination. I think that's the main thing for people to understand. It is all part of reality.
You said somewhere in your writings about being in a theta state when you meet some of these beings. Talk about that a little bit. Can you say...
Well, I think that's the state where you're in the state of paralysis. I think that's the theta
one.
Oh,
I see. Yeah.
I think alpha state also is good because that's the state often we get into when we're meditating. It's just allowing the mind to be really calm and open. It's quite interesting because in a meditation group or a group I was speaking to many, many years ago, there was a woman present who had been a meditator for many, many years and had also had ET experiences. And she said to me, I can't understand how when you put yourself into an altered state that you can communicate with the greys, how can you also have the left brain in control to be able to write the messages down? Because that's mainly how my teaching comes through.
That's a good question, yes.
It was a very good question. It really made me think. And I realized it is through my training. I was a professional dancer from the age of 15, which was very much about balancing left and right hemispheres of the brain. I then took up Tai Chi, which is about balancing left and right hemispheres of the brain, because it's also about being in an altered state, but at the same time keeping yourself grounded, very grounded. And Reiki is a similar thing. So it's really like I've had training all my life to do this.
One more thing I wanted to ask you, because you talk about the etheric implants that the ETs use. You said and you had an encounter where there was a long needle with a blue crystal at the end being inserted into your third eye.
Yes, yes.
You remember that?
Oh, clearly. That was a very conscious one. It actually happened at a sacred site over in the UK when I was over there back in 1995.
Why are they actually using things to be inserted into the body? I mean, what would be the purpose of that?
Okay, well, for me, this blue crystal, all the Zeta teachers work with a particular color when they're working with a person down here. And this color represents whichever of your chakras needs balancing or the chakra you're going to work with, because of course the seven main chakras all resonate to the seven colors of the spectrum. So the teacher I work with, Maris, works with the color blue because it's my throat chakra which synchronizes with the blue color, like sky blue, which is what I use mostly in my work is creative communication. And when I had this encounter over in the UK, this needle was actually put into my third eye, which was like, it was like an acupuncture sort of technique. And this crystal on the end linked into my teacher Maris's consciousness. And there was like a download of information because it was during that contact that I was actually asked to write the book Human by Day, Zeta by Night, to present the human ET contact scenario from the ET's perspective. because up till that point it had always been written from the human perspective, so they wanted a book written from their perspective. So that was what that was all about. But the implants that are generally used in people, there are actually three reasons for them. They monitor the energy system, so they are placed generally in the chakras, and chakras also are at the joints, like elbows, knees, etc., as well right. as the seven main chakras, hundreds of chakras through the body. And they're designed to heal and balance because, as I said before, health problems arise from imbalances within the energy system. So these implants work almost like acupuncture or Reiki in that they help to heal the energy system. And I know many people have undergone healing after having an implant put in. They also monitor the effects of pollution, emotional states, etc., the whole profile of the person. The second reason is they raise the energy frequency, allowing people to access higher dimensions, for example, to board a disc. So they're sort of like a cosmic boarding path, and they help to make us more creative and psychic. The third reason is to assist in communication between down here and up there. They enable easier communication.
Uh-huh. I see. Huh. Well, that makes sense then. Huh. But do these, I mean, you said you have a pretty normal Earth experience, but the Greys themselves, and you said you know their perspective, what is their normal day like for a typical Grey?
Well, for the Greys, it's really, really hard to bring parallels between the two because it's so different. They are workers of, like, they're energy workers. So their whole life revolves around their work. But for a Grey, the concept of work is different to down here. It's not, hard labour sort of. You know, your work is your vocation. You love your work. It's your whole reason for being. So basically that's what life is about. I mean, we take breaks. Of course we do.
But do they enjoy themselves? Do they have a sense of humor? Do they go out to entertainment?
Wonderful sense of humor. Yes. One of the things we enjoy, the arts, music, dance. I often find myself up on the disc doing Tai Chi.
Up on the UFO doing Tai Chi.
Yep, doing Tai Chi. I've had moves corrected up there by one of the teachers working with energy. Yes, music. They love music.
How often do you go up to the disc?
Well, I don't remember every time I go up. My understanding is I go almost every night, but, of course, I can't remember all that. I'd never bring it back down here, but quite often I do wake up with memories of being up there.
But do you ever go with your body or just more?
Oh, no, always the astral floor. I don't go with the body.
Uh-huh. Would you like to go with the body? I mean, have you?
Not particularly. I mean, I prefer to be out of it.
So when you go up there without the body, do you then, are you in a Grey body, a Grey's body?
Well, depending on what sort of work I'm doing. If I need to carry out work with a human, yes, I would be. Otherwise, you're just in your light body, which is our true form.
Uh-huh. And the Greys have a similar light body to humans, are they?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
You wouldn't? Oh.
No.
Oh. So they do have their own, each individualized soul experience, each Grey.
Oh, yes. Free will, as I say, there's free will throughout the universe.
Uh-huh.
It's part of universal law.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting because I have a very, very clear memory of being up there on one occasion working on somebody. And I could just completely relate it to being down here. I can remember how I was feeling and thinking and everything at the time. It was quite an interesting experience.
And then you come back down here and you say, oh, I'm back as a human again, huh?
Yeah.
I see. Well, and this will continue, probably, huh?
Yes, for sure.
But you never could imagine a time where you'll actually have a merging of the human and Grey.
Well, I sort of do all the time. It's a little bit hard to explain. Yes, I do merge the two. But, of course, I mean, I don't appear in my Grey form down here to people. Unless I'm doing work at night.
Your poor husband, of course. You
know. Well, give him a shock.
He'll roll over and there you are, you know. But maybe that's just something I'll have to get used to. But you know, ultimately, of course, like you're saying, we're not really physical anyway. Whether it's human or gray, we really are the light body.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you, Judy. It's you have anything else that you would want to tell people?
Look, what I'd like to do, Alan, I'd just like to give our websites
yes,
out
please.
To people if they want to go in. Our main website is ufograyinfo.com, and that's spelled G-R-E-Y in the Australian way. I'll just say that again, ufograyinfo.com. Our book website is just thezetamessage.com, all in lowercase, thezetamessage.com. If people are interested in buying our books, they're readily available through Amazon Book Depository. They're also in ebook form on Kindle. There's The Zeta Message is our non-fiction book, which is co-written by Helene. Much of The Zeta Message has been taken from diary notes that she made almost on a daily basis when her children were undergoing very, very full-on contact experiences back in the early 2004. The other book, Human by Day, Zeta by Night, is a docudrama based on the Zeta message and telling the story of contact from the Zeta's perspective rather than from the human perspective. So there's a huge amount of information in it.
Oh, you also have this book called Looking Through the Eyes of Love.
Oh, that's one of my first books. That's actually out of print at the moment. But what we've done, Human by Day, Zeta by Night, is sort of a compilation of Looking Through Eyes of Love and Looking Through Eyes of Wisdom, which were my first two books.
Oh.
And they were taken up then by Granite Publishing and republished as Human by Day, Zeta by Night, with a lot of the fiction element taken out and a lot more information put in.
Oh, you know, on the cover of the Zeta Message book with you and Helena Kay, there's a crop circle. Now, do you have anything interesting to say? Because that's something I feel very connected to, the messages of crop circles. What do you think they are here for?
Oh, yes, crop circles. Very interesting. They're actually created with what the Zetas refer to as an energy stamp, and they're mainly to do with that they are educational. See, a lot of them actually are illustrations of different galaxies and star systems. They're also to do with communication. There's messages within them. SETI project sends messages out to the stars. We answer with the crop circles. But the main thing about the crop circles is they're transformative. They're actually made in symbols rather like Reiki symbols that are impacting upon the energy of the planet and of people who step inside them.
I've been inside them. I think also people looking at them get a kind of energetic download as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. People often start to actually detox when they step inside one, like when they receive Reiki or acupuncture, they can actually start detoxing because the crop circle has an effect on their energy system.
Interesting. And there's been some great ones this year. If you go to Crop Circle Connector, they always have the latest update on crop circles. That's where I look, and for me, I think they're a fascinating ongoing language of higher levels of communication.
Oh, they're absolutely amazing. Yeah. The one that we feature on the front of the book is quite incredible. It was actually, this is quite unbelievable for me to say this, but we actually put out a request at the time for a crop circle or some way of illustrating this human ladder that Auris was teaching us about. And the next thing, this crop circle appeared that is supposed to be an illustration of the human ladder. And at the same time, an Australian man by the name of Brett Parrott was meditating in Milk Hill Field over in England.
Right.
And he also, at exactly the same time we were putting a request out, also put a request out for a crop circle in Milk Hill Field. And it appeared the next day. And I tell the story of this in the Zeta Message. It's the most amazing story.
Yeah, I mean, the Milk Hill, I've been to Milk Hill in 2008 when the 888 symbol appeared in that same field with this really one. I think the one on the cover of the book is probably the most phenomenal crop circle that has appeared with over 400 circles in it. But
yes.
No, I mean, it's all unbelievable, though, Judy, in a way.
So. My publisher has actually started up a planetary healing project based on that crop circle. If people are interested in looking into this or taking part in it, I'll just give the website for
yeah,
it.
It's
granite-planet.net, and that's granite, G-R-A-N-I-T-E, as in the rock, granite. So granite-planet.net.
Planet. I'm going to look that up right now, see what
yes.
what you got. Granite-planet.net. And let's see what you got here. And your publisher's based in Australia?
No, the U.S. It's Granite Publishing.
Granite Publishing.
Wildflower Press. Is
and what are they doing with that crop circle design?
Well, what they've done, they've organized a planetary healing meditation. We have many hundreds of people throughout the world taking part in it at the time of the full moon and the new moon. So we do it twice a month, because generally there's one full moon, one new moon each month. And you can tune into the website, and there's music, there's a guided meditation that I was given by Maris, and there's a couple of other meditations, so they can do different ones. And Helene's daughter Kira actually speaks out the meditation, and there's another one spoken in a male voice by a friend of hers, and people can take part in it. And it's the idea of trying to reach a critical mass of people thinking about healing and improvement on a planetary level.
Oh, great. Well, we need more of those types of things.
Oh, look, absolutely. And we invite upstairs to join us, the Zeta family and anyone else up there who wants to join in.
And so the crop Zetas circle join in as well.
Oh, they join in as well. And we use the crop circle as a focus for the meditation, because that was specifically one of the reasons why it was given, to illustrate the human ladder, but also as a meditational focus.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing that as well. Yeah, it's granite-planet.net. And there you are with your Zeta
granite,
family.
Granite-planet.net.
Yeah, hyphen. And I see you there with your Zeta family of friends. So thank you, Judy. Thanks for everything you're doing. It is a full-time job for you, isn't it?
It certainly is, Alan. Yes, no doubt about it.
And are you writing another book at all?
Yes, I'm actually putting a children's book together at the moment.
Great. And what's that called?
I sort of haven't quite come up with a name. I think it's going to be called A Zeta Mission. Working on that.
All right. I've been talking to Judy Carroll in Australia, and her website is ufograyinfo.com. And just two very amazing books out here, The Zeta Message and Human by Day, Zeta by Night. And we'll talk again as things develop. Okay, Judy?
That'll be lovely, Alan. Thank you very much for having me.
Sure. I'll let you know when this is posted as well, okay?
That'll be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Alan Steinfeld. Good night. And this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to know more about some of the other interviews about UFOs and articles, you can go to my website, which is newrealities.com. Under UFOs, there's a whole section. I have other sections about metaphysics, spirituality, healing, health, sexuality. There's a whole range of New Realities ideas I have on that website, with interviews with people on various degrees of information. I'm hosting a UFO panel. It's called ET Contact and the Evolution of Consciousness at the Meta Center in New York City on July 26th. That's 214 West 29th Street, New York City. Look up the Meta Center, ny.com, for more information. Also go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening. If you want to reach me directly, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. Talk to you next time.